Thank you. What an honor it is to be in this place tonight. Thank you, Maury Davis, for touching our lives. Thank you, Brother Trask, for you've given me this honor. And I prayed before I came. I told him the first thing I did not want to do was embarrass him in what I said. Certainly don't want to embarrass myself, nor this wonderful crowd of people from First Assembly in Van Buren. They asked me yesterday about preaching today, and I said I'm more concerned about preaching yesterday morning than I am tonight. I can preach here and go home, but I have to live with these people. They really didn't come to hear me preach. They just came to see if I could do it in 30 minutes. What a joy it is to be serving God in this generation. It's the greatest day that we have ever had. The darkness is black, but that makes the light shine brighter. I'm reading tonight from the Song of Solomon, chapter 6, verse 10. Would you please stand for the reading of the word? Song of Solomon, chapter 6, verse 10. Who is she that looketh forth as the morning, fair as the moon, clear as the sun, and terrible as an army with banners? Psalm 26, 8. Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth. Matthew 16, 18. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not. I like that. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You may be seated. Thank God for the church. I want to preach for a while tonight on, is the church relevant in this present age? The church is the apple of God's eye. He came 2,000 years ago to establish a beachhead through the church. And before long, he's coming back to take full possession. The church is the everlasting fortress which time, imprisonment, nor the ravages of war cannot destroy. Without the church, where is the place of encounter between man and God? Without the church, where is the soul's shaping ground? Without the church, what shall our children know as our father's praying ground? Without the church, where shall we touch the hem of the living God? The church is designed as the meeting place between God and man. The church is the resident of the people of God. Hallelujah. The church is the landing pad for the satellite of the Holy Ghost. The church is not a country club for the rich. It's a sanctuary for those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. The church is not a sanctuary for the pseudo-intellectuals and the never-do-well intelligentsia. The church is a place where all men and women are equal at the foot of God. The church is not an exclusive club. It is an inclusive fellowship. I'm so glad that it included me. The church is not a place for the sanctimonious sewing circles and socially accepted tea sipping. It's a hospital for the sick. It's a saving center for sinners. It's a lighthouse for the lost. The church is a soul-saving station, and that's our purpose in existing. The hospital will always be relevant because there are so many hurting people. And as long as the church is ministering to the needs of sinful, hurting humankind, she will always be relevant. The church is more relevant than the hospital because a person can go to heaven with disease in their body, but they can't go to heaven with sin in their soul. For almost 20 centuries, the church has stood. She has weathered every stormy gale on the raging sea of time without lowering her sails. She still sails on. She has ridden every high tide, blown by every hurricane wind without sinking. She's still afloat. She has stood the test of ages without a single complaint. She has rocked empires. She has outlived every tyrant and every monarch that rose against her. She has proved every man a liar that predicted that she would soon fail and come to naught. The church is not an afterthought of God. After man's sin in Eden, God thought it in eternity past and revealed it today. The Holy Ghost sealed it at Pentecost, and the seal of God's everlastingness is there, and it cannot be broken by time or eternity. Thank God for the church. The church was conceived in eternity and had its beginning at Pentecost, and it's here to stay. Hallelujah. Famines cannot starve it out. Tyrants can't stop its forward march. Terrorists can't steer it away. Mockers do not discourage it. And turbulent waters cannot drown it. Hell's hounds cannot overtake it. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Her honor comes through dishonor. She thrives on persecution. When she's the weakest, she is the strongest. When she is the poorest, she is the richest. She drowns every Pharaoh that tries to pursue her. She paralyzes every arm that rises up against her. And on the other hand, she blesses those that love and support her. She comforts those who mourn. She calms frenzied nerves. She gives hope to the despairing. She saves the lost and gives hope to the hopeless. She reaches the lost and the last and the least. I'm glad it reached me. The church will never go out of business as long as there's one little toe-headed boy like I was years ago, where somebody reached where I was. We didn't have anything. We were nothing. But I can tell you, by His grace, at the age of 5, I gave Jesus all that I didn't have anything. But I gave Him everything. And from that day forward, He's got it all. The sun may black out, but the church will march on. Stars may fall from their sockets, but the church will roll on. The sea may rage and roll, but the church will stand fast. Let the atheist try to condemn it. Let the ACLU file suit against it. Let the evolutionist laugh at it. Let the ungodly curse it. Let the half-hearted walk off and leave it. Let hell rise against it. But the true church will be relevant in this age and in every age to come. This church of which we are a part began in the fire of Pentecost with, by and large, poor, uneducated people who had a burning desire for more of God. And they would leave a legacy on this world of the fire that was burning in their hearts and in their lives. They might not have had a lot of formal education, but they knew the book. And you couldn't shake them. They were willing to make a life or death stand for Jesus and His word, and they were on fire with the Spirit of God. There was nothing false nor pretense about their relationship with God. They might have gotten a little strung out on some issues, but they wanted their hearts to be in tune with the Master. They shook community after community with the power of God, from salvation to divine healing to deliverances to miraculous. They began like Abraham, the first generation. They went not going with a burning desire to tell the old, old story that Jesus saves, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. They paid a price. They paid a tremendous price. They loved God with all their heart, and they knew that God loved them. They were very unpopular with the devil's crowd because most of them knew that their converts came from the deepest pit of sin. They had a zeal that was untarnished by the world. They had a fire that burned within them. They had a soul-winning compassion and posture that they told the world that Jesus was still Christ. They preached that sin was sin, but God's love was greater than all their sin. They preached that hell was hot, but heaven was so wonderful you could go there. They preached with such a heavy anointing that when they got through, people streamed down the aisle to find Jesus as their personal Savior. They knew the fire. They knew the glory. They knew the anointing. They knew what it took. And church, today we must have one more time a fresh touch of the power of the Holy Ghost in our hearts and in our lives. I still believe the church is as relevant as tomorrow's newspaper. However, she cannot sit on her past laurels and expect the world to admire her and respect her just because she expects it. The church must be the church. She must make herself relevant in this age. If the church is to be relevant, she must be a place of purpose. We're hearing a lot about purpose today. Everybody purposed this and purposed that by a lot of non-Pentecostals. Well, we are looking for the next committee on ways and means to get where we want to in our committees, our communities, and our society. The problem is that we are trying to drive down the freeways of human lives without the high octane of the Holy Ghost. Those disciples in the upper room knew why they were there. They needed an endowment of power from on high to win the lost to Jesus Christ. The promise of the Father had come. They were in the upper room. The purpose, everybody, everything we do ought to be to win souls. We as a church, we're not called to look like them. We're not called to be like them. We're not called to dress like them. We're not called to staple, mutilate, and stencil our bodies like them. We're called to change them. We are reaching every week in our church, in our area, between 3,000 and 4,000 people on the streets every week. Every week. And I can tell you from experience, week after week, those people do not want us to be like them. They want somebody to bring them a message of change. Somebody to bring them a message of hope. Somebody to bring them a message that changes their lives forever. When you fish for fish, you catch them alive and bring them home dead. But when you fish for men, you catch them dead and bring them home alive. We ought to rescue the perishing, care for the dying, snatch them in pity from sin and the grave. If we are doing anything that does not have the Great Commission at its foundation, we need to stop it. All the buildings, all the buses, all the TV ministry, all the organization, everything must be done to win somebody to Jesus Christ. I'm praying in our church, Lord, will you send us another Bubba Rome, the biggest gambler in our area that got saved? Will you send us another Henry Scott, rotten to the core, God saved him? Will you send us another Terry Mooney? Will you send us another Roger Mason, an Indian man that came down the aisle one Sunday? Filthy, filthy, filthy that night. The people didn't even recognize him because he came changed. Will you send us another Blanche Smith sitting right over here who was ready to kill herself? Had a gun to her head. My dad knocked on the door. Blanche is now saved and filled with the Holy. That's the reason she shouts like she does. That's the power of God. I thank God for Blanche. Let me just pause right here and tell you the difference in black folks and white folks is this. When you're struggling getting going, black folks jumpstart you. White folks just leave you out there to hang. Oh God, will you give us the nastiest? Will you give us the stinkiness, the filthiest, the rottenest, low down sinner in town to come down the aisle, to kneel at an altar and find Jesus Christ as their personal Savior? The only way we're going to get them to come down the aisle is to go and get them. And when they come, we must have the power of God where He can break every fetter. The Muslims can't do it. The Catholics can't do it. The moderns can't do it. The humanists can't do it. The liberalists can't do it. The ecumenical church can't do it. It's going to take a church full of the power of the Holy Ghost to save humankind. To be relevant, we must know that in every service, there could be someone with such deep hidden sin. In every Pentecostal church, you say, not in ours. You're kidding yourself. For in every church, you can find somebody with some kind of an addiction or a hidden sin, from lust to pornography, from tobacco to alcoholism, from marital problems to homosexuality and lesbian problems, from anger and bitterness and deep-seated sins. And our purpose, whether by tears or by singing or by preaching or by loving them, is to get them to Jesus. Is to get them to Jesus. If the church is to be relevant, she must be a place of prayer. We've forgotten that with all of our psychology. We've forgotten that with all of our counseling. It's still praying through to heaven until God touches somebody. And when they prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness. The church must be a place of prayer. When Elijah prayed, fire fell. When Paul and Silas prayed, the earthquake came. When Solomon prayed, wisdom was given. When John prayed, he saw Jesus. This book still says, call unto me, and I will answer thee, show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Prayer changes things. Prayer can do more to set your church on fire than anything I know. Anything I know. Just pray a hole through the sky. Run the enemy off with prayer. Prayer can bring you out of depression. Prayer brings you out of your valley. Prayer brings you out of your oppression. Prayer brings you up on the mountaintop to sit with the King in heavenly places. You won't need a deliverance service on Sunday night if you have an old-fashioned Holy Ghost prayer meeting. For every service becomes a deliverance service. Every service. People pray before every one of our services. They meet and pray and pray and pray. Greeters ought not to greet until they have a prayer meeting. Ushers ought not to usher and come on the floor till they have a prayer meeting. Choirs ought not to put on robes till they have a prayer meeting. Deacons shouldn't deacon till they have a prayer meeting. The Holy Ghost won't come till you have a prayer meeting. You can't build God's house without prayer. Unless the church is a praying church, we stand under the judgment of God. We must be a praying church. To be the church relevant in this present age, she needs to be a place of preaching. Preaching. I've never been so sick and tired of everybody trying to skirt around preaching. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. There is a need for preaching today. We need preaching that will condemn sin. We need preaching that will convict sinners. We need preaching that will comfort souls. We need preaching that will challenge the saints. We need preaching that will keep people from hell. Preaching that will get people to heaven. Preaching that will make us live right, walk right, talk right, dress right, shout right, and die right. It is still the foolishness of preaching that sinners are saved through faith. Preacher, get excited about something once in a while. Don't come to the pulpit dead. Your folks are going to leave dead. You come on fire with the Pentecostal fire, and somebody will come and watch you burn. Stomp your foot once in a while. Get loud once in a while. Shout once in a while. Get excited about something once in a while. Oh, Ezekiel walked out in the field of dry. Not only were they dry, the book says they were very dry. I preached in that church one time. He didn't have any pulpit. He didn't have a welcoming committee. He didn't have anybody slapping him on the back saying, "That's a great day, good sermon, come on." Those bones, that first Sunday morning, he preached on unity. Sunday night, he preached on the unction. And Wednesday night, he preached on usefulness. And before long, he had an army standing there ready. I grew up on straight, hard, Holy Ghost anointed preaching. They hadn't learned yet how to be cool and get with it in the jet set. The kind of preaching I grew up under made you either want to get saved or run from there because you're scared to death. I know nothing else. I don't want anything else. Preacher, it's time we preach. Jesus still saves the vilest of sinners. The Holy Ghost baptism is a must in our present day. Divine healing is a reality for us today. The devil is mean and nasty. God is real and wonderful. Heaven, hell is hot. Heaven is wonderful, regardless of how you're labored. You don't get a Roland sitting on the front seat out of 17 years in prison without something they don't want you to soothe it over. We've soothed it over far long enough. It's time we preach under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Pray until God's anointing comes down. I pray three prayers before I ever come to the pulpit every time. God, I need your help. I can't make it myself. That's number one. Number two, oh Lord, would you let me say? Don't let me say anything I shouldn't say, but don't let me be afraid to say everything I should say. For the church to be relevant in our day, she needs to be a place of power. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them. The place was shaken by the power that was manifested in the lives of those people. It's time for the church to get back to the place that power is available unto us. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. I'm not talking about the pseudo power of the fake and the fraud and the charlatan. I'm not talking about the show. I'm not talking about the sensation. I'm talking about the genuine power of the Holy Ghost that settles on a congregation and touches lives and changes them by the power of God. I remember as a little boy sitting in church watching one night my mother, little small Indian lady, the Holy Ghost touched her and she was lost in the spirit. First assembly in North Little Rock, Arkansas. Old hot stoves on the side. I sat on the front seat and watched as she was lost in the spirit. Her hand laid over on that old hot stove, the hottest part of it, scared the life out of me. But I watched after about 15 or 20 minutes when she got up. I ran over to look, not even a red spot on there. I'm talking about the power of Pentecost. Oh, Lord, send the old-time power, the Pentecostal power. Thy floodgates of blessing on us throw open wide. Lord, send the old-time power, the Pentecostal power. Let sinners be converted and thy name glorified. Lord, would you send your genuine power one more time to change us, to turn us, to challenge us, to cleanse us, to motivate us, to sanctify us, burn within us, and purify us one more time.
the church is to be relevant, she must be a place of the Holy Ghost. Judge Lindsay, one of the greatest preachers this world has ever known, before he died, said, if I could have it to do all over again, I don't think I would preach a sermon that was outside the Holy Ghost. I would preach on him. The problem is our young people do not know a clue today about what we're talking about a Holy Ghost baptism and the power that goes along with that experience. It's a shame we have to send our young people to a youth camp to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Preacher, preach the Holy Ghost. Teacher, teach the Holy Ghost. Singer, sing the Holy Ghost. Musician, play the Holy Ghost through those instruments. And something will happen in that church. The Comforter has come. So spread the tidings round. He has come. The Holy Ghost will turn your simple little sermon into a heart-gripping, soul-searching message straight from God Almighty. The Holy Ghost will turn common singers into the most beautiful voices you've ever heard in your life. The Holy Ghost will work out problems you never thought could be solved. The Holy Ghost will touch lives in your church that you could never touch with 1,000 visits. The Holy Ghost will put families together that $1 million and 100 visits to the counselor could never do. The Holy Ghost is our answer to our church today. Hallelujah. To be relevant, she must be a place of singing. We have to have a song. The devil's music is nothing but one of melancholy, sorrow, woe, and sin. That's all. They did a study of backmasking all the different music. They went to Nashville and they did it. And the folks got back their wife and their car and their house. The heathen have nothing but a sordid chant in a minor key. Put all the rock singers in the world together, and you ain't got a choir. We Pentecostals are known for our singing. In fact, I have never heard anyone sing like an individual filled with the Holy Ghost. There is a difference. I've been in church and heard singers that the only time they hit the right note was when they crossed it. But when the power of God hit them, when the glory of God touched them, they sang under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Sing me a song about the blood. Sing me a song about Calvary. Sing me a song about Jesus. Sing me a song about victory. Sing me a song about heaven. Sing me a song about how he sets the captive free. It's not the show. It's not the scene. It's not the hype. It's not the jumping up and down. It's not necessarily the ability. It's not the precision. It's not what's in the head, but it's a song. Someone asked, you need to learn how to sing from the diaphragm. He said, I don't want to. I want to sing from my heart. It's time we sang again from our heart. People sing because they've been set free from sin. They've been set free from sham. They've been set free from everlasting punishment. They've been set free from destruction. And now they find themselves on the road to heaven. Who wouldn't have a song? Sing me another song about the Holy Ghost. Sing me a song about heaven sounding sweeter every day. Sing me a song about amazing grace. Or just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. Sing me a song. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Sing me something that has meaning. No, you don't need a chauffeur's horn. All you need is a horn of the anointing, of the power of the Holy Ghost to come down in your heart and in your life and touch you. No, you don't have to make up a song on your way to the pulpit. Just get something that touches the heartstrings of some old mama and daddy or some lost son or daughter. Sing it together. Sing it anointed. Sing it because you're happy in Jesus. Sing it because it's the only song you know. I don't know the Hollywood stars. I never was taught who they were. And I'm not interested in learning who they are. All I know is that the blood of Jesus can flow and the anointing can touch when somebody sings under the anointing or preaches under the anointing. Sing because you're in love with Jesus. Sing it loud. The devil's crowd sings it loud. It's time the church began to tell. This is our story. Because we know the Savior. To be relevant, the church must be a place of praise. Praising God and having favor with all the people. When Peter healed the lame man in the temple, just a little after the experience in the upper room, the word says, he went walking and leaping and praising God. It's time the church had a genuine praise. I'm not talking about one that's worked up by some cheerleader. I'm not talking about one that's worked up because somebody can do this or do that. I'm talking about a genuine praise because he lifted you out of the pit. Somebody here ought to have a praise. He woke you up this morning. He cradled you in his arm all day long. He's going to put you to bed tonight. He's going to watch over you tomorrow. He's going to take care of you because he's our rock. He's our sword. He's our shield with purpose. When the purpose is right, when the prayer is offered, when preaching and singing right, and the Holy Ghost is predominant, then there will be praise. David cried out, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." David saw men that were in bondage, and each time they came to the end of their rope, he said he lifted them out of the miry clay and set their feet on a sturdy rock. He brought us out of the miry. And David would say again and again, Psalm 107:8, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." And when I think about how he lifted me, and when I think about how he got me out of the pit, and when I think about how he healed me, it was 10 years ago that I had 6 bypasses. I feel stronger today than ever before. They put an Energizer bunny down inside me. I can tell you, it's the power of the Holy Ghost. I like it when you begin to praise him from a sincere heart. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. But don't stop there. Don't stop there. The church is relevant because she knows where she's going. Hallelujah. We're headed toward a city where the Lamb is the light. She's headed in the right direction. Don't count her out yet. She'll still rise up. We're headed toward a place where the wicked shall cease their troubling, where the weary shall be at rest, where the blind see and the deaf hear, where the lame leap and the invalids turn into athletes, where the saints sit at his feet and be blessed, where every step is a thrill and every meal is a banquet and every day is the rapture. And every blemish is a beauty spot where every citizen is a saint. Hallelujah. I'm headed to a place. Well, glory. Glory. We ought to praise him because we're almost out of here. We're waiting for the day when the church will go marching into Zion singing praises to the Lord. The church has been looked on in many, many bad ways lately. It's under scrutiny from every news media in the land. Many times the only way she's on display is defamed. But one of these days, oh glory to God, I'm glad I'm part of the church. Because one of these days she will be on display as a glorious church without spot and without wrinkle. I want to be in step when she makes her grand entrance. We're on just a dress rehearsal down here. But one of these days he's going to say act one, and the curtains of heaven are going to roll back, and the church is going home. Angels will be singing, and saints will be shouting, and trumpets will be blaring, and we'll see him who was and is and ever shall be Lord and Savior, King and Master. A man was sending a letter to his wife. He was dying. He sent the letter and he said, "Tell her, write this. Tell her that I'm still in the land of the living." No, he said, "Mark it out. Tell her that I'm still in the land of the dying, but I'm soon to be in the land of the living." We're soon to be there. I want to be a part. The church is relevant. The church is relevant. Let hell rise up. Let the devil stick his ugly head up. The church will still keep on marching because we're bought with a price. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet, if you will, across this room. Glory to the Lamb. 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 Tis a glorious church. Tis a glorious church without spot or wrinkle, washed in the blood of the Lamb. The old song says, do you hear them coming, brother, thronging up the steeps of light? Clad in glorious shining garments, blood-washed garments pure and white. 'Tis a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. If ever there was a time I need someone with me in church, it's now. If there was a time you need somebody, it's now. If ever there's a time we need to be together, it's now. If ever there was a time we need the Holy Ghost to, it's now. It's now. This thing's about to wrap up. It'd be all right if it happened tonight. Hallelujah. For someday, somebody's going to be in the middle of amen. Say A down here and man on the other side. Glory. One of these days, somebody's going to start to say hallelujah down here and hallelujah as you step in the main street of glory. We're going home, church. We're going home. We're going home. We're going home. Just feel of the Holy Spirit. The trash told me I could do this. Close this. Feel led of the Holy Spirit. There are pastors here that perhaps you're struggling in your church and you want your church to be set on fire with Pentecost. Set on fire with Pentecost. You struggle and struggle and struggle and you still haven't gotten that breakthrough you need. You want the power of Pentecost. You want the power of Pentecost. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. You want the power of Pentecost. If that's you, whether you're in the balcony or here on this main floor, if you're here in your church, you want the power of Pentecost to prevail and for God to do miraculous things without human hands apart. Just let God have his way. If that's you and you're hungry, this is the best time to start. 'Tis a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. I want you to just step out in the aisle and come and fill this front right here. You want your church on fire with Pentecost. Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When you get here, lift your hands. When you get here, say, God, it's me. When you get here, say, Lord, in my church. Lord, in my church. In my church. Hallelujah. Come on. Come on. Find a place around here. Say, Lord, it's me. Would you pour into me the anointing of your Holy Ghost? Would you pour into me a special touch of God?